Good morning.
Good morning.
First thing I like to do, knowing that we didn't bring our seven boys here today, because they grow up and they are big and they have family, so we will not fit up here. We have 10 grandkids now with our seven boys. Well, two of them are not even married yet, so family will be growing. But then I want to share with them our life. So, do you mind if I take a picture of you? Okay, give them a nice smile now. Okay. Are you okay? I'm just waiting for him to sit down. Okay, good. One more. Yes, we are very thankful to that the Lord gave us seven boys, because even if we are up here today, we know they are down there busy. They are doing the work and they are helping in all the different churches we establish in Brazil, and we do not have. Many things prepared to say to you, because actually I did prepare a slideshow to show you with many information there. But for some technical reasons, we are not going to be able to present to you this morning. But if you are willing to see those pictures later, you just call me around and I can show it to you. But we would just like to talk a little bit, one of the highlights of our ministry right now. Oh, the most important thing is that the Lord has been blessed us with seven boys, and all of them in some way are involved in the ministry. Some, you know, Paul, our son that is a missionary also, he's our second son. He is a missionary working with Mariana, his wife, and his boy Matthias, you say in English. And we also... You know, have you heard of George, the oldest, and he's very busy with the camp, working, helping us with the land that we bought over 10 years ago, and he's really helping us a lot with that. Dennis also is involved with the camp, and he also have his wife and two kids, a girl and a boy. And then... All the other boys, they are involved here and there, somewhere in our projects we have down there. We have many projects going on. And it's really, it'll take a long time to explain all the details of those projects. We do appreciate that you keep us in prayer. As we get old, we can see our boys taking over. And it's nice to see that. Well, because that was our prayer. Since the beginning of our ministry, we pray that our kids will be involved with us in our ministry, and they are. So we're thankful about that. And another highlight of our ministry is just the new church that we just started not too long ago with a group, with a Bible study we have in the city of São João Batista. If you can remember this name from our ministry, you already know there was a church there already. So this is the second church in the city of São João Batista, and that church began with a group of people that came out of the Catholic Church through the ministry I'm having with the Catholic Church people, and those people just came out of the Catholic Church to become a church, and that church is called Grace Bible Church Vertical, or Vertical Grace Bible Church. And that vertical means looking for the things above, vertical relationship with God. That's the idea of they call this name. Because they want to be a little differentiated from the other churches already in town, so we don't want to say first Grace Bible, second, they just... Vertical.
And they're mostly young people.
Yeah, they're mostly...
That's their target also.
Yeah, their target is to reach young people to the Lord and reach out with the gospel. So we have been training a couple couple men from that city. Their names are Luciano, Adriano, and Belchior. And they are pretty much leading that church. And I basically go there to preach once in a while. They have been doing great work leading. I continue to teach them all the time, but I can see they are very interested in and propagating. And actually, when I start that ministry, I was following the direction of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:2. You know that passage, don't you? So go read it. Anyway, we do have a photograph, not a prayer card, a picture that we made copies. Karen and I, just so you could have something different to put in your refrigerator. Maybe you have our one of old prayer cards, but if you don't, you can pick it up, one of those. We don't have many, so...
Oh, there's enough.
Yeah, there's enough. Oh, okay. So it's even written by hand, you know, so you're going to enjoy Carol's handwritten. Oh. So, anyway, and now we are going to sing a song for you that we... Do you think I have anything else? Well, maybe you have a question about our ministry. You could do it right now as we get prepared to sing a song for you. Do you? Yes.
How many years have you been there?
There, where exactly?
Yeah.
I've been there 47 years because my parents were missionaries.
Oh. Yeah.
And
so.
He was born in Brazil. His parents came from Germany.
And
he got saved in 1977.
And then we started working as missionaries with Things to Come Mission in 1984.
84, yeah.
And then with the Word of Grace Mission, the mission we are with 2 years later.
Yeah, so that's then 32 years.
32 years that we are involved in the ministry. And we thank the Lord for that. Very thankful. Yeah. The Lord has been great to us. As a matter of fact, when we were coming to church this morning, we started noticing that the car we are using are having very funny behavior. And so I know that you'll be praying for us, but I would like you to pray for our car. You know, I think we're going to have some transmission problems, and I don't like that. But anyway, we're going to sing this song that will be related to the message that I have prepared for you today. Okay. I wish I...
Okay.
Yeah, we have to do this one. I choose to be on the different sent that his children could be. I answered the call. I think my sin. I choose to leave my nation and a faithful man. And to that end,
I give my all.
And in the strength and grace of God, I answer the call. I've got to dedicate our lives to nurture children of our wives. I've got to guard our hearts and eyes to press toward the goal, to win the prize. I answer the call. I choose to live my days on earth a faithful man, and to that end I'll give my all, and in the strength and grace of God I answer the call. Well, answer the call. So when we think about calling, when you think about God's call, we may remember different places in the Bible when God calls us to serve. And the first place I would like to call your attention, it's in Genesis 12. The book of Genesis and the chapter 12. Here we're going to find, and the first three verses, when God calls Abraham. And here we read those verses, we find, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So when we find this call in the Bible doesn't tell us the circumstances, the context of how it happens. We don't know if Abraham was sleeping, walking, any place. But God called Abraham. And one of the things that I like about this part here is just the way Abraham answered. Because God didn't tell him, "Get your GPS and set into this address and go there." No. He said, "Go to the place I will show you." So leave. Get out. Get in our way. Can you imagine the situation? Abraham didn't know even if he's supposed to go north, south, east, or west. He didn't know. But the Bible say in Exodus 3 verse 11. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong. Genesis 12 verse 4. "So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. in at this beginning of this verse, he just answered. He just answered the call. God called him, and there he went. No questions asked. No strings attached. Well, actually he did. He brought Lot, and his father went along with him. But not. We have to study the scriptures to find out the circumstances that Abraham was living. His oldest brother died, and he left family behind. So Abraham was taking care of his nephew. And then Abraham's father wants to go along with him. How are you going to say, no, Dad, you stay home? That doesn't happen. So he went. And later on we found out that God understood all those situations and waited until to the right time in the life of Abraham that you start doing the things that he promised to Abraham. And actually it took many, many, many years to God fulfill all his promises to Abraham. You remember Abraham was about almost 100 years old when his first born came. You know, and that was a lot of waiting. Sarah was not that patient, you know, and things happen. But we are not going to go through this story, but this very important fact that God called Abraham and he answered the call. Now, if we go a little farther, we're going to find another very important man in the Bible. Actually, we're talking about two of the most important man of the Bible, never referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is more than man, I would say. But here, when we go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, and here we find the Lord calling Moses. Exodus 3, verse 3 say, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So, this is again, Moses said, here am I. He was listening to God's call. The calling of Abraham was quite different than the calling to Moses. Actually, God made a miracle that called attention. And Moses he wants to see that closer. That phenomenon. And as he got close, that was when God called him. Actually, Moses probably thought, wow, then this comes from God. That's why I couldn't understand. It's something miraculous. So, but anyway, at this time, Moses started his relationship with a personal God. God called him personally, and he answered, yeah, here am I. And then, we are not going to read all those verses that talk about the way Moses answered everything, because Moses was kind of a precautious. I was born in the state of Minas Gerais in Brazil, and they say the people from Minas Gerais are very precautious. They don't like to get in trouble. They ask many, many questions before, you know, they are able to do something. And Moses was asking God, and he really wants to know everything about it, because he was very suspicious, because he was being called to go back to Egypt. And he left there for a reason. He was running up for his life. So he was kind of, well, I'm going to be in trouble, so I want to know more about this. So the Lord talked to him in Exodus 3:11 to chapter 4, verse 18. You can read at home. So that's your homework today. You're going to just write it down. So you get home, read that, those passages, and see how Moses was reluctant about answering. And so from those two different calls, we see two different attitudes. Abraham didn't say anything. He just went. He obeyed God's call right away. He went. He didn't question, where is this place? You know, how far it is? How many luggage should I take? You know, or something like that. Which car should I go? Or something like that. But Moses, he was, you know, and a lot of us today, we kind of have those similar attitudes concerning God's call. And we're going to get there. Well, later on, as we get into the New Testament, we find God calling a lot of people through the Old Testament and calling a lot of people in the New Testament. He called His disciples and, you know, and everything. But we want to go to Acts chapter 9, because there is a very important man for us today. God gave the Apostle Paul to be our model. So we want to know how Paul did answer his call. He was called also. And how did he answer his call? And in Genesis, I'm sorry, in the book of Acts chapter 9, we can read in verse 3, and as he, the Apostle Paul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wow, that was a different call, wasn't it? Why? Well, Saul, he was doing something, you know, that he believed that was right. Many people think that Paul is a cruel guy, you know, one of those savage or, you know, wild guy, you know, you're going to kill those people, you know. No, he was trying to purify his religion against that doctrine that was being taught, that he thought it was wrong. He was trying to protect God's people. He was trying to protect God from that, what he thought was something wrong. You know, there came this man from Nazareth. What is Nazareth? There is no prophet coming from Nazareth. And who this Nazarene come and start preaching, don't think this guy must be a fake, you know, it can't be true. So he was fighting, he was trying to protect his own religious. And he was a very religious man. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was really militant. He wants to, but he didn't know that he didn't get the things right. He didn't know actually that Jesus is descendant of David and he was born in Bethlehem. He didn't know that because nobody at this time knew. Of course, 30 years before, when Jesus was born, some people heard that. Some, not many. And those news were not spread all over the place necessarily, so that was not necessarily written in all the synagogues, the book of the history of the Israelites or anything. It was not written there, so nobody knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we don't have too much time to explain all those details, but we know that the Apostle Paul was trying to serve God. He was trying really hard to serve God, and he was doing a lot of awful things because he was doing in his own flesh. At this time, the Lord called him in a different way. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Why are you persecuting me? You know, And when Paul heard that voice and saw that light, he said, oops, I must be doing something really wrong. So he asked the Lord, what did he ask? What do you want me to do? No, he said, huh? He asked, who are you? In other words, who are you? And then he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So this, I think at this very moment in the life of Paul, that was a big change that took place. And the Lord didn't have to tell him, I'm here to call you to be my servant. Because I think that's exactly what Paul wants to do. He wants to be God's servant right there. And so he obeyed everything that the Lord said to him, beginning in that day, all the way to the end of his life. We understand that the Lord later explained to him, not at that moment, but later the Lord appeared to him and revealed to him in many, many different ways, so many things and how and everything he was supposed to serve the Lord. Do you think that the Apostle Paul answered the call? Just read those words in Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Here we read in the writings of the Apostle Paul, we find this passage in Galatians chapter 1 verse 14. And he say, and profited in the Jew religion above many, my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. He didn't have a little conference to think about. No. And the way he was persecuting the church, he could understand he's going to be one of them now. And he's going to be persecuted by the Jews and everything else. So the Apostle Paul, at the beginning, he didn't understand everything, but he didn't hesitate in answering the call. So, of course, Paul is our apostle. Galatians 2, verse 20 say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. Christ is dead in vain. So the Apostle Paul is part of the context what he was teaching, but that this is a declaration what he is. He is not himself anymore. It's just Christ and you, the hope of glory teaching. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning I was really pleased with the Sunday school teaching because I said, wow, that's lovely. I love to hear people teaching that because we are not here. We are not going to be able to do God's will in our own flesh. We can't. We just can't. The Saul couldn't, and he tried hard. And as our motto, Christ through him. That's the way. So, in Romans, let's open the book of Romans, chapter 11. This is a comfort that comes from the scriptures. It's words that make us feel very well because of many different things, but especially thinking about the call, God's call to the saints that we are now. Romans 11 and verse 29 say, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." So it's important that God's salvation is a gift. It's a gift. He gave us salvation. It was a very costly for God. Very costly for God. It cost him the life of his own son. If you have kids like I have, I never crossed my mind that I would give one of my sons to pay for the sins of somebody else. Never crossed to my mind. I don't think I'm human. I don't do those. I don't think like that. Do you? Do you think about giving the life of your only begotten son to die for some criminals out there? No. But that's what God did. He gave his only begotten son. I like to, when I evangelize people in Brazil, I like to say, what is the most important value in your life? And if the people are parents, they will say right away, oh, my kids. They are the most important value that I have in my life. They are more important than myself, they say. And I say, you see, the most important value of your little universe is your son, is your kids. God gave the most important value of his universe. And God's universe is the whole universe. The infinite universe. He gave the most important value of his own universe. His only begotten son. The one that never ever messed it up. Never sinned. Never did anything against the Father's will. Can you imagine giving a life of a son like this to pay for somebody else's sins? That's the kind of love that is involved in God's calling. God's gifts and God's calling are without repentance. God will never repent to send someone to preach the gospel to you. He'll never repent of giving you salvation. And will God do not repent of calling you either. So we are all called. And we can find this in the verse, in the very first chapter of Romans. That's when I, as a Catholic, I learned that the different meaning of the word saints. You know, because as a Roman Catholic, when I thought about saints, I thought about those images of those statues that they were hanging in our churches. You know, and we pray for those saints that have all those kind of beliefs. But then my father-in-law explained to me a different meaning of the word saint, and then in the verse starting Romans chapter 1. Verse, he goes on from the beginning, talking about the calling of the apostle. And then in verse 6, he says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" So, all the saints of Rome were called. And then verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved to God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So when I start learning more about the word saint, what saint means, wow, that was quite different in my understanding. And I start thinking about a special property of God, something that of his own, you know. So we, all of a sudden, we are just human beings. Like we went to the zoo another day and we were looking there, I think it was at the end of our walk in the zoo that we stopped with the gorillas and all those monkeys and stuff. And there's a sign saying that they are our closest descendants. So, I didn't came down from a tree, no way. It was kind of funny, but we know, even as human, as a human being, we know that we are the most savage, the worst of God's creation, acting in this world with sin. With the presence of sin in our life, we became worse of any animal. So I felt sorry about those monkeys. They said such a statement. Because the monkeys are not destroying the planet. They are not, polluting everything. They are not destroying everything. We are. So felt sorry about them. But here the Bible says that we are called saint now because we are separated aside for a special purpose. We became God's holy temple. I mean, God came to dwell in us. Wow, this is a lot of, this is too much, How can an infinite God fit in here? It doesn't. I know, he must have some kind of a tricky way to get, but I don't understand. But it's very important for us to know that we are called to be saints. We are called to become God's property, God's private property. You probably went to many places here, especially here in the States. Sometimes we say, private property, keep out, So this is private property now. This is private property now. We are all God's private property. And he called us for a reason. And first, in Romans, in Galatians 1, now in Galatians 1, in verse 6, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So let's put aside this issue, the context of that situation that Paul is talking about, the people being led by the Judaizers. The Galatians, the people in Galatia, they were being influenced by some wrong doctrine that was being taught by those, the so-called Judaizers, the guys that used to be part of the old covenant, and now they want to press that covenant on the new believers. And they want them to be circumcised and everything. I came from a church that have, I think they collect all those Judaizers' doctrines in one church. That's the Roman Catholic Church. And when you go there, they have a priest, right? This is not something that the Apostle Paul taught. This is Old Testament stuff. And then you have to obey the Ten Commandments. Back to the law. And then you have to confess your sins. That's what they did to the priest back then. So the priest would tell them what kind of sacrifice they have to give up. Well, because they don't, it's against the policy to offer sacrifices. So then they give you some different kind of sacrifice. Go put yourself in your knees and 10 Holy Marys, then you have to pray and pray and pray your sins out, But this is, all those doctrines, actually they came from the Judaizers. They were people that were causing Paul a lot of troubles. And that's why he wrote that letter to the Galatians. But anyway, here he say in the middle of this verse, he say, called you into the grace of Christ. Thank you, brother, for explaining all kinds of stuff this morning about this. And I sorry for some of you that were not here this morning, because it was excellent teaching. I really love that. And that grace of Christ is, we're called into a different perspective. We can see things with different glasses, different way. Not looking with the glass of Moses, not looking with the glasses of Abraham. Now we are going to look through the glasses of Christ. We want to learn about Christ to be able to see the way Christ sees things so we can do His will. So here in Galatians 5, we understand this is a very, very special passage to me. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, I really like my version in Portuguese, but here it says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So, it's very, the most common word in English for liberty, what is it? Freedom. And that's the popular word. Nobody uses the word liberty. If you say liberty, they think about the Statue of Liberty or something. And they don't think. But in Portuguese, that's exactly the word. Liberdade. And so I like that in our translation, it's using a word that everybody uses. We don't have the word freedom in Brazil. Maybe it's a name of a company or something. But it's not. People don't know that word. But we know the word liberdade, liberty, and freedom. We are free. Free of what? You know, then we remember all the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. Let's take Romans 8 too. That the law of the Spirit make you free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit make you free from the law of sin. That means I'm not under the law of sin anymore. That's right. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to sin. You don't have to. Don't think you are just a marionette, a puppet of Satan, that you're going to just do whatever Satan wants you to do, and I have no choice because I'm a puppet. You know, you can't. No. Here we understand that the Lord made you free. You don't have to be under sin anymore. A lot of people think, well, I smoke, I can't get rid of my smoking habits because it's more powerful than I am. Come on, guys. What does the Bible say? So God teaches that we are free from the law of sin. It's our responsibility to be accountable for every single sin that we do, because we understand that God gave us freedom from sin. We don't have to. You don't have to be entangled in those things anymore. You have to believe the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. And that's true. Knowing Ephesians 6, when he talks about the armor, what is the first ingredient of the armor? It's the truth. Embrace, put the, what's the word? Breastplate? No, that's not girl. The word. Oh, girl. Yeah. What's it say? Gird. Gird. Girdle. Or you have soul. Some difficult word for me. But anyway, as you study the scripture, you'll find out the first piece of the armor is the truth. And when he comes down, when he talks about the sword of the Spirit. Oops, did you hear well? The sword of the Spirit, not yours. Don't start hitting people with their Bible in their heads. And all. This is the sword of the Spirit. This Holy Spirit wills the truth. To actually, when we preach the gospel, we are not converting those people. We're just presenting so the Spirit can work through those words in. It's so interesting that you can develop very different, interesting ways to preach the gospel. Try to develop the best way so people will not miss that. And you present to some people, it looks like no effect. And because it's the work of God. God is calling people, not you. So God calls us, and He wants us to serve Him. And He called us unto liberty. He called us unto the grace of God. He called us to walk worthy of the calling. This is Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. Just the next book in that Bible. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. Exactly what you're teaching today, right? Walk worthy. And then we can find also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians. And here in the verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. So, Ephesians 1, 17, 19, he talks about the hope of His calling. And many times we may question, what is the hope of His calling? Oh, the rapture. That comes in instantly in our minds, right? Is that true? Think about it. Meditate a little bit, the hope of His calling. Is it that about the capacitation to be able to serve? Think about that. I don't know. Well, that passage needs, we need more consideration to rightly divide Paul's epistles. I know. Yeah, that's true, because many times we read the words and we connect those words without considering the context. So just give more thoughts on that. In 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 1 to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 to 7, here the Apostle Paul talk again about this, almost like walk worthy. He calls us unto holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 7, he say, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. For ye know that commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And goes on and on. And in verse 7 he say, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness. So, brothers and sisters, here we are today, thinking about this missionary that came all the way from Brazil to let you know about God's calling. Of course, you already heard that many times from Pastor Rick and from the other Bible teachers here. But as we know, the only thing I can do is to remind you that gave us a call. And each one of us has a specific place in the body of Christ to answer the call. And I know that it's easy for us, and many times we do like Moses, oh, don't, or not me, call somebody else, I'm not really good, you know, my voice is bad, or I have hiccups, or whatever. You know, all kinds of things you can use as excuse to not serve God. But Do you know that we are the only people that can serve God in this earth today? We're the only one. The unbelievers, they can't serve God. Doesn't matter if they are involved in charity or whatever, yes. They can't, they're not serving God. Well, sometimes they are used as examples, but bad ones. Like, don't do like they do. don't do like the Gentiles. Don't do like the heathens. You know, don't do like them. So that's the way they... Even Israel today may sometimes is used as bad examples. Don't do like they did at the wilderness there. They ignore God's word. And don't do like they did. The Apostle Paul used Israel as, don't do like them did. You know? Wow. But here today, I call you to think about your life. What are you doing with the calling you have? Are you trying to avoid it? Or are you willing to learn more about this calling? And learn about God's word and learning how can you do God's will? I would like to give you the why I came up with this message today. I didn't come up with this message thinking I'm going to Ricky Kurt Church and those guys need to hear that. No, no. I'm working on a different set of message that I teach in Brazil. And last year, I don't know if I shared some of the things with some of you, but I was kind of emphasizing the four different things that lead man to sin. And that was lies. Remember that? Some of you maybe. Four different things that lead men to sin. And now, after realizing that actually we don't have excuses because those things that lead us to sin, God made it, gave us freedom from all of those. So that means you have no excuse. So I start thinking, what are the things that lead men to serve? And one of the things that came to my mind, it's God's call that lead us to serve. Yeah, because we went to the camp and I asked Carol, I don't like the idea of cooking. I'm kind of messy, you know, in my cooking. When I cook, I like to do the way I... So I don't know how you fit in that program, you know, cooking those things there. Sometimes I don't even like that food, you know. I'm from Brazil, different culture, so... I'm going to cook that? No. So I said, Carol, I really don't feel comfortable cooking. Maybe I can do something else. Well, nobody said anything. We got to the camp, and I was supposed to go to the kitchen. And then I got into the kitchen and started noticing, looking at everything. And I really felt out of place. I don't belong here. But I was there. And then I received the words of relief, you know. Bernardo, I think you'll be better go and help us with the many things. We have so many troubles. We have to fix this and this. We don't have anybody here. So, hey, praise the Lord. And I got the tool. And I went to work with the tools. And I love it. I really love to work with my hands. So it's important for us to know that we are called to serve in different places in the body of Christ. Many of you are called to be a nice husband to your wife and you are not answering the call. Remember the song? We're called to love our wives and our kids. Are you answering the call? Many, many of you are wives that are called to serve your husbands. Are you answering the call? You both parents are called to be tutors of your children, to lead them back to God as God's servants. Are you answering the call? So some of you, well, I'm not married. Okay, what does the Bible say about those that are not married? Who? You're free! You have a whole time. You don't have to be entangled on those, you know, situations. You're free to go. You don't have to call your wife. Oh, I'm going to get late today. Yeah, you know. No, you don't have to. Maybe you need to do that to your mom and dad while you're still home. But if you're single, you can be full-time servants to the Lord. And I remember when we went to the ministry, I told her, we were going to have to sacrifice a little bit in order to serve more God. Because we know as married people, we can't be full-time. Because God wants me to serve her. God wants her to serve me. And God wants us to serve our kids, our family. So, are we answering the call? So I want you to just evaluate your life. Evaluate. And if you don't know much about the details about this call, if you're kind of a Moses-like, and if you want just to, you know, come to church. And there are people here, they're prepared to give you the answers. So you can answer the call. Amen? Thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.